the Pharisee tested Jesus with the question, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus responds with these iconic words, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second, Jesus went on, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets are contained in these two commands. In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, friends, in some ways the most important thing in that short reading is Jesus' words at the end when he says, all the law and the prophets are contained in these two commands. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, forget all the rest, but don't forget these two. Now that's not quite, of course, what he was saying. But these are the great commands. Back to these in just a moment, but let me tell you about a little article that I saw in the Telegraph the other day, and it's about a young mum, Sarah Todd. She's got two children. I think they're 5 and 3, boy and a girl, and that is not inconsequential for what she writes. She writes this, and it tells us of her involvement in the church, or rather it might be her lack of involvement in the church. But she writes, along with many other parents, and this is what she writes, along with many other parents, Alistair and I feel guilty that while we have our children christened, we hardly ever go to church, save for Easter, the harvest festival, and Christmas. Well, friends, that's something anyway, isn't it, to be going on with? But she finishes a little bit. Life is so busy, it's difficult for Alistair and me to attend services. Life is so busy, it's difficult for us to get along. Life is so busy. And that's true. There are so many counter-attractions today to church. A young mother said to our minister's wife a little time ago, we want to see you at church because my wee boy goes to football now. Football on a Sunday morning. But so many other counter-attractions. It's a challenge to the church, isn't it? It's a challenge. And sometimes we don't meet up. So many, not maybe the church here, but so many churches are not very child-friendly. I sometimes think we could be a lot more child-friendly than we are. But Sarah, who wrote this article, believes she can keep her connection to the church, with the church, situated incidentally within a stone's throw of Castle Howard in Yorkshire, which I'm sure many of us here have visited. She decided that she would volunteer to take her turn on arranging the flowers. So she volunteered, and of course her offer was accepted to do the flowers on a rota basis. And she concluded her little piece by saying this, as I read it in the newspaper. Once I was back inside the church, a peace that I hadn't experienced B.C., before children. A peace I hadn't experienced for a long time washed over me as she arranged the flowers in the church. A feeling of peace. Everyone in the church, she says, has been so kind to me. It helps me to keep my connection with the church. Now, friends, you may say, well, what do we learn from that? I would suggest certainly one thing, that it is important for Sarah to have this sense of belonging to the church. Important to her that she keeps the connection with the church and the people. And to have this, and to keep this sense of belonging to it. Really, this is important to her. Now, the question is sometimes asked, friends, what is the church all about? What is church membership all about? Is it about believing, or is it about belonging? Difficult question to answer. I will attempt very briefly to begin to give an answer to this, just to begin. But so many people today find it difficult to believe. Some may not be sure that God exists, but happy to continue in their search. You see, the commitment to the church, and this is what we must understand, the commitment to the church today as in every day is at different levels. Different levels. Is there room? Is there room in the church for us? Is there room in the church for those still engaged in the search? Not sure, perhaps, what they believe, but still searching? Is there room for them? Yes, of course there is. Because in some senses, we are all of us engaged in the search. The church, whatever else it is or must be, surely must be a place of welcome for everyone, no matter what stage in the search they may be. Those who find belief difficult. And is it not the case that all of us sometimes find it difficult to believe? You know, friends, I have believed for some time that being a follower of Christ Jesus is not about signing up to a body of doctrine or a body of dogma, signing, as it were, on the dotted line to every jot and tittle of church dogma. Much better, I believe, friends, I share this with you this morning, much better is a simple commitment, accepting Jesus as our friend and Savior, and to follow in His way. It is basic, but it is important. Again, dogma and doctrine may have a place in the church, but whether it can be equated with truth is quite another matter. And someone might write a thesis, and we're not going to write it this morning, on the connection between orthodoxy and truth. That will be for another day. And you know, friends, if we talk of dogma and doctrine, could we not also ask another question? Is there not a place for mystery and for the mystical, for the poetic in our life together in the church? How many of us understand entirely what the sacrament is about? The bread and the wine. There is a mystical dimension to it, which we accept and understand. You see, we seek in the church, friends, let us be clear, neither scientific fact or scientific truth, but rather the truth that comes through to us in poetry, in beauty. Beauty of a great landscape. And God speaks to us through that. And yes, the beauty that comes to us through the scriptures themselves. And the great Apostle Paul, remember, our reading this morning, himself refers to the mystery. In his letter to the Ephesians, he writes, "In reading my letter to you, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, made known to us by God's Spirit." You see, friends, there is mystery there. Don't be afraid of it. But while we may be happy to acknowledge the place of the mystical, beauty, poetry, and mystery, we must also, and I share this with you this morning, we must also be prepared to move on. Never to forget the place of mystery, the mystical, but to move on as well. The poetic, the pictorial, the spiritual experience, the level of feeling of peace, experienced by Sarah in her church that morning. All of this, of course, do you not agree, has a place. But we must move on. And this is the challenge, and here I come back to the question of the Pharisee. He asked Jesus the basic question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And of course we know Jesus' reply: "Love the Lord your God with heart, mind, and soul. This is the greatest commandment of all. But the second is like it: love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So there, friends, in the words of Jesus, in these two great commandments, he has provided for you and me a perfect summary of the law. You know, friends, in the end, faith can be a simple thing. Believing that God is good and that God is love. And prayerfully, together, and in faith, can we not commit to these two great commands, to love God with heart and mind and soul, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves? Amen. May God be pleased to bless the preaching of his word, and to his name be all glory.